Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790 KNST. Shockaroo here, action-packed show. I got that traffic report from Kelly, and I'm like, what did I say yes to now? So stay here with me. If you're not at the U of A game, and by the way, Kat, my board op, said she is a UO fan, and I said, what? OU. I mean, OU. Yeah, might as well be UO. OU, and I went, OU, what? So she's a traitor. Oklahoma University. I'm not even speaking to her. Anyway, talk about fun. Colleen Crown and Shield from Clean Cities will be calling in. She just got back from D.C. Albie Zakes from TerraCycle. He was one of my first guests on the program ever, and they are an unbelievable company. They're the world's leader in upcycling, and we're going to find out all about how they went from turning worm poop into an internationally known phenomenon. And you can always visit my website for more thorough information on anything I talk about at www.mrsgreensworld.com. The green tip that I have today is sponsored by Horizon Moving Systems. And to me, green is all about getting in action, getting your green on, doing everything that you can that's sustainable. So today, would you vote for the greenest of them all at Mrs. Green's World? There are amazing stories on our website about people making a difference for the planet, and I am so not kidding. You can get into action on this one. It's one click away. The stories will touch your heart and inspire you, trust me, okay? So news, I don't know about you, but I did get lots and lots of plant damage to our plants in the last freeze. Hard to think about that now since it's going to be almost 80 today. But we are partnering with Tohono O'odham Park. They're an amazing organization. Love being a part of them. Mr. Green and I actually go out there. So they're going to have a spring plant sale that will be featuring certain desert plants indigenous to the desert. But the most important thing is they are going to have seasoned staff available to offer expert advice on sustainable desert gardening. They'll tell you what you should be worried about, bring in descriptions of your plants, what you may have to replace, what you just have to wait a little bit because it will regenerate. So they'll talk about recovery measures for homeowners and things that you can do given the recent frost. I mean, I have cactus that are just absolutely black on the top, and I don't know what to do with them. I don't know whether to cut off the top or what to do. So the sale is open to members on March 16th and open to the public Saturday and Sunday, March 19th and 20th. And remember, it's Tohono O'odham Park. Visit them at tohonoodhampark.org. And it's one of Tucson's treasures that people don't know about. And if you're listening from out of state and you're planning to come to Tucson, I would say visit this treasure. It's unique. Okay, do we have our buddy Colleen Crown and Shield ready to go live before she goes into the U of A game?
I am here, Gina. How are you today?
I am great. How are you? How was your trip to D.C.?
I am fantastic.
Do you have jet lag?
I have a little jet lag, but I'm here at the last U of A game, and I'm hoping we win today. So I'm doing great.
We will win. I just talked to my brother, and he and my sister-in-law, Cherie, are on their way, and I'm jealous, but I have to stay here and change the world, okay?
So well, that's, you're so good at it, and we all love you for
that's
it.
That's the deal. Okay, so we are going to announce, and if our spouses are listening, Colleen and I are actually moving to D.C. next week.
We're going to change the world from D.C.
We're going to change the world. We're going to have the ear of the country listening. So that being a big fat lie, what did you learn in D.C.? What do you want to talk to us about today from Clean Cities?
Well, I tell you, Gina, this was probably one of the best trips to D.C. I have made, and some very exciting things going on in Clean Cities. But one of the most exciting is we're going to start really going out and changing the world, not just the United States. So I'm going to be working on a project with Kazakhstan. Almaty, Kazakhstan is actually our sister city to Tucson, and so I've been asked to help with a clean fuel project in Kazakhstan. I'm really excited about that.
That is really, really, really super amazing. And do you think you'll get to go there? And take...
I do think I'm going to get to go there, but I'll tell you, you know, it feels so good. Changing Tucson has been wonderful and great, and you know, there's so much work still to continue to do. And the whole United States, you know, you and I do so much for everyone outside of Arizona, but now to get to really help in areas that really don't know what we're doing but want to learn and want to move forward, I think that is just really exciting. So
I think that's really exciting too. And keep me posted. You know, our Rotary Club, I know that I believe there are some Rotary Clubs in Kazakhstan. And it's why I'm part of Rotary, because there are millions of people I can be connected to all over the world. So keep me posted on that. And what was the purpose of the D.C. visit?
We go to D.C. once a year. We call it Energy Independence Days. And Clean Cities coalitions from all over the United States head to Washington, D.C. We meet with all of our congressional leaders, and we just really let them know what we're doing in their areas. You know, a lot of them get so busy with policy and what they're doing, you know, there, that they don't realize all of the great things that we're doing right here in their area. So that's what we do. We take the time to educate them on all the projects and programs that are going on in their area, and if we need any help from them, not really financially, but just more of a, you know, any policy needs that we have, we talk to them about that and kind of try to help them move forward with us so that they understand everything going on in, you know, in their areas with respect to clean fuels.
And so it's keeping it in front of them and the awareness with everything else that's going on. And what are you working on that you're most excited about right now? I know there's some news you have about a compressed natural gas. I know that you're doing stuff with the electric vehicles.
Well, I got to tell you, Gina, we got our very first Nissan Leaf yesterday.
Awesome. That's great.
So we've got our first Leaf in town and many more to come. So that, I think, is probably our biggest project right now, is just getting those charging stations out there and getting those Leafs to town. So much excitement has been building U.S.-wide and actually worldwide on all electric vehicles. So just to get those first vehicles here has been huge, and we're so excited about seeing them come in and seeing all the excitement build about them.
I think that's great. When we have you on for a longer time, there's a lot of pushback in the media about electric vehicles being, you know, fired by coal, because you have to get the electricity from coal. So I think it'd be a great longer discussion to have for our listeners and what your response is for that.
There's a lot of education we need to do with those listeners on why electric vehicles are important and why they're not as bad as everybody thinks they are. So I would love to do that, Gina.
I would too. And I, as for me, love my Chapman Honda Hybrid, 44 miles per gallon. How to get that plug in. Okay.
And Chapman, you know, is our only dealer for natural gas vehicles.
Yes.
Here, too, as well. So
I
Chapman's
do.
Doing a lot for us.
Well, you go, Cats, and have fun at the game, and text me what's going on with the score.
I will.
Okay.
I'll let you have a great day.
Thanks, kiddo.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Colleen. She is going to the game. I'm so jealous. Okay. A couple more announcements I have to fit in. Goodwill has partnered with Verve, which is, of course, Mrs. Green Salon, and they are doing a book drive for new or gently used books. And I know people say new. Well, sometimes I buy two copies of the same book. You can drop them off at either Verve location, Oracle and Ina, or Fort Lowell and Swan. And if you drop them off, you can get a free hand massage, which with a wonderful Aveda product. There is just no downside to that. And I want to talk about Tucson's Festival of Books next week. We are live. We are giving away 100 Mrs. Green's reusable bags to the first 100 people that show up and sign up to follow us on Facebook or in our newsletter. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We have Albie Zakes from TerraCycle, the world's leading maker of upcycled products. Stay here with me. 790KMST.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790KNST. Just an FYI, once Albie calls in, we will be taking callers if you have a question for him. 520-880-5678. Another little reminder to visit me at MrsGreensWorld.com. And I rushed through the announcement about who's the greenest of them all, sponsored by Well Home. And this is how I feel. I've gotten nominated for a couple of things recently, and I'm very grateful for that. But it's really doing something nice for somebody. It's just a feel-good feeling. And the entries for on my website are our friend Hank Kryzik, who is a regular listener. His wife nominated him, and people have commented to me about the story. One of the green things that Hank does is he rides his bike with his daughter to school any day of the week that he can. And there's just really heartfelt stories. Kelly King, who's on the Mrs. Green team, nominated her dad, and she's proud of him, and we disclose that. And We can only vote once a day. So get your green on and visit the website and do that. And then I want to announce about this wonderful community of Tucson turning the tragedy of January 8th into an unbelievable concert on March 10th to benefit the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona's Fund for Civility, Respect, and Understanding. I saw my buddy Ron Barber the other day, and he put together in less than a month, are you ready for this? It's going to have, for all of you of my age back there and those of you that like the oldies, Jackson Browne, Alice Cooper, David Crosby, Graham Nash, Sam Moore, you name it. I mean, Calexico, I've seen them perform in L.A. of all places. There's going to be a wonderful presentation. Of course, Ron and Nancy Barber will be there. But you can find this out at, I have the website here. You can go to Ticketmaster to get tickets, and the tickets start at $10. For more information, you can go to jacksonbrown.com. You can go to nightswithalicecooper.com. And always, if you want to find out anything on I said on this show because you're driving, you can contact info@mrsgreensworld.com, and we will get the information back to you. And again, that's Thursday, March 10th at 6 p.m., and all of the money raised will go to the victims and the survivors of this tragedy. It's just an unbelievable event. We hope to raise a lot of money. And then I want to tell you a little bit about the Festival of Books. They expect 100,000 people next weekend. So my one bit of suggestion would be get there early because there's going to be traffic issues. I was talking to a friend of mine who's helping with it, and they are expanding it beyond the university regular boundaries. They've had so many authors from all around the world respond. The event is free. They have panels all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Mrs. Green will be on the mall, I think by the University of Arizona, the College of Science. And you can find out textbook, call me, whatever you have to do to find out where it is. And I can't imagine how anybody in Tucson would not want to go for part of it. If you have an interest, there will be an author there ready to talk to you about their books. There'll be books for sale. There's great food vendors. There's just no downside. So really, and Bookmans, I just love them. I have a little tiny Bookman story. I had to waste some time the other day between appointments. So Mr. Green says, why don't you go to Bookman's? Big mistake. So I went in and I was looking for Harry Potter books on tape for a trip we're going to be taking with the grandchildren. And they actually had cassette tapes. My car still takes cassette tapes. And the guy said, we don't carry cassettes anymore. So I went over and looked, and of course they did have, he said, oh, except for Harry Potter. So I got three books for Harry Potter on cassette tapes, and they were $10 a piece for each book. And the DVDs were $40. So they're saving waste from the landfill, and I'm so happy because I love Harry Potter. So does Mr. Green, and our grandchildren, of course, love it. So don't forget about what a wonderful community partners Bookman's is. And stop in there. And they do have new, used, you name it, and even cassettes for the dinosaurs that are left on the planet. So now we're going to go to the entrepreneurial dream company, TerraCycle, with Vice President of Marketing, Albie Zakes. Albie, can you hear me?
Hi, Gina. How are you doing?
Great. It's so good to hear you. And I was thinking about it driving over here. I honestly think you might have been one of my first, you definitely were in one of my first 6 months of shows. I think the show was a half hour then, but it was a long time ago, Albie.
It was, and I enjoyed quite a bit being on, so thank you for having me back.
Well, let's make it even better, because I hope that I've gotten better. I have a slew of questions. Let's go to it, and I've told anybody that if they have questions for you, 520-880-5678, and they will get wonderful gifts from Eclectic Pizza and Bookman's gift certificates, but you have to have an email if you are going to call in. So, Albie, tell people a brief overview of how TerraCycle got started, because it's really changed even in what you do. Agreed?
Yes, that's very true.
From worm poop to upcycling.
Yes, from worm poop to upcycling. I hope I can say poop on the radio.
Yes, we can. We're allowed to say poop.
Oh, good, because I do say it a lot here as I describe the founding of the company. But our company was actually founded in 2001 by a then Princeton University freshman named Tom Zaki. And Tom was an entrepreneurial, spirited teenager. Is from Canada, where, of course, environmental awareness, tends to be a little bit more widespread. And when he came to Princeton, he was struck by how much waste he saw in the dorms, the cafeterias, people not recycling, how much food was thrown away. And he was both struck by the environmental impact of that kind of waste, but also by the opportunity that it represented, that he felt that all of this material going to waste, people have to pay to throw away their garbage. You or I pay it through our taxes, or we have a private company that does it, or the municipality that we live in pays for it. But you pay for your garbage to be hauled off, whether you're an individual or a business. So theoretically, Tom thought, if you could make a company that could make consumer products from garbage, you could be paid to collect the material, and you could be paid for the product that you can make. And so he took that idea, and he actually learned from some of his friends in Canada about composting using red wiggler worms. So not big night crawlers like you might go fishing with, but small little
worms.
Wriggler worms, yes. Red wigglers, are the fastest eaters. They're the biggest eaters. The little guys always win the hot dog eating contest, too, from what I understand. and so he bankrupted all of his credit cards, borrowed money from friends and family, and built this big contraption called a worm gin, where he could house hundreds of thousands of worms. And he signed a deal with the Princeton University Cafeteria Services to haul off all of their uneaten food and waste food, waste product. And he'd haul it off and feed it to worms. He would harvest the resultant worm poop, as we finally call it, or what gardeners and environmentalists more commonly call worm castings. Worm poop
the
is just our kind of
poop
brand.
Okay, yeah.
He would take that, and he couldn't afford packaging because he had spent so much money setting up this operation with no investors. He couldn't afford packaging, so he actually started to package the product directly in used soda bottles. So he would go around on recycling night in Princeton, and he would collect 2-liter and 20-ounce used soda bottles out of people's recycling and rinse them out, strip the label off of them, put a TerraCycle label on, and fill it with his liquefied worm poop. And that was how TerraCycle was started, and our first product was an organic fertilizer.
And just a little sidebar, and if that is not the description of the entrepreneurial dream, and just do it and keep going and using every resource at your possible height of your imagination, it blows me away. Being I'm a serial entrepreneur, so I love it. One of the things that struck me the most, and I'm sure I have new listeners and old listeners that may remember, that he was offered $1 million venture capital grant way, way, way back in the startup, and he walked away because they wanted such a big piece of the company. Is that an accurate reflection of what happened?
Yeah, that is correct.
$1 million.
History. He came up with this idea. He dropped out of Princeton after his freshman year. That's a tough conversation to mom, calling mom back in Toronto and saying, hey, mom, things are going great at the Ivy League school, but I think I'm going to drop out to sell poop in a bottle.
I'm going to harvest worm poop. Not a good one. Yeah, this mom would have been saying, really? Okay, tell me a little bit more about that. But
as Tom said, he actually
before
he told his parents, he already did it. That way it wasn't as big of a problem. It was already done, and they were just going to have to live with it.
Right, good move, good move. Okay.
So at that point, he was actually financing the company. He was using interns to help him. Obviously, he recruited, here's a 19 or 20-year-old recruiting 18 or 19-year-olds to be interns for his company. And he was going around and winning business plan contests. And he was winning, a couple thousand dollars here, a couple thousand dollars there. And that's what he was using to finance the company. And finally, he wins the Carrot Capital Business Plan Contest, which is the Super Bowl of business plan contests. And the grand prize was $1 million. And the company, Tom had $500 in his bank account. The company was basically on the verge of failure. They hadn't been able to get any consistent customers. And here's this $1 million investment. And he walked away from the deal because they wanted to move away from the focus on garbage and waste and just become a regular fertilizer company.
And tell him how to do it better. Yeah, yeah. I think that's such a piece of history that needs to be repeated over and over, because for the budding entrepreneurs out there, it where there's a will, there's a way. And this is one of those great stories. It's kind of like a mini version of Facebook, and maybe it'll be the maxi version of Facebook at some point. So talk to people now about how you kind of morphed. We'll be having to take a break in the middle of it, but start the conversation about how you morphed into that, to what you do today, which is the upcycling. I mean, to look at your website now and to have looked at it 3 years ago, it's a different look, a different feel. The numbers are staggering in terms of what you've done, and I'll get you to talk about that a little bit. But what happened through the morphing process to making products out of recycled materials?
Sure. So what we were really, you know, we had some great success with the worm poop products and in the fertilizer world. You know, we started to sell to Home Depot and Walmart, which are the biggest sellers of fertilizers in the country. And so we'd really sort of made a breakthrough. But what Tom and TerraCycle really identified as the most valuable thing about the system was not that that worms were this. I mean, worms were great for making fertilizer, but the real potential impact and the real business opportunity lay in that original root idea of making products from waste material.
Right.
We started to think about what other types of material do we need recycling solutions for, and how can we use that material? And it was actually a little bit of an environmental slash entrepreneurial serendipity. We had been running a program called the Bottle Brigade, where we paid schools 5 cents for every soda bottle they collected. It was real easy. We shipped them a prepaid shipping box. They filled it up with 100 plastic bottles and sent it back to us. And we donated 5 cents for every bottle. So every box earned $5 for the school. We got the bottles that we needed to pack our fertilizer in. The program became wildly popular. We had no idea. It was sunk under its own success. And in 2007, was costing the company upwards of almost $100,000 a month to run because of all of the cost and the shipping and the donation and customer service. And so we thought, oh, man, we need to find a corporate sponsor for this program. There's no reason why a Pepsi or a Coca-Cola shouldn't sponsor this recycling program. They get these branded boxes in schools, the whole thing. So we couldn't ask, so we went out looking for a corporate sponsor.
Hold that thought. We are going to have to go to a quick break. We'll pick up right there where we left off. We've got another half hour to listen to all of these great stories. We're talking to Albie Zakes, the Vice President of Media Relations for TerraCycle. Stay here with me, 520-880-5678. Win some neat stuff if you call in with a question for Albie. We'll be right back.
News Talk 790 KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. Please make a visit to MrsGreensWorld.com so you can find out all the cool things going on in Mrs. Green's World. And while you're there, make sure to vote for who's the greenest of them all. I have to say that our first entry was from Bergen County, New Jersey. A husband nominated someone from there. Our third entry was from Pennsylvania. So this is a national contest, and if you win, and one of the prizes isn't going to be fitting where you are in the middle of, you know, Pittsburgh, we'll figure out a comparable prize.
we can send anyone else a TerraCycle prize to fill in.
Oh, that's perfect. See, you just put it out there. So we're talking to Albie Zakes, who is the Vice President of Media Relations for one of the big American dream, one of the fastest growing companies recognized worldwide, TerraCycle. Incredible history, incredible present, and a yet to be determined over the top future. So thanks for calling in, Albie. So when we last spoke a couple of minutes ago, you were talking about the morphing from worm poop to really recycling and then reusing, repurposing products. So let's pick up there.
So, yeah, absolutely. You know, we were running a program on our own to collect used soda bottles from schools as a fundraising opportunity, and we were trying to look for corporate sponsorship for that program. We couldn't find – first we went to the big soda companies, and they didn't want to sponsor the program because the bottles are technically recyclable. Then we went to other eco-friendly, you know, similarly minded companies. We went to Stonyfield Farm, to Honest Tea, Cliff Bar, to Kashi, to all of these sort of organic, healthy food companies out there. And they basically said, well, we don't want to sponsor a program for soda bottles, but we would love to sponsor a program for our packaging, because most consumer goods packaging out there candy wrappers, chip bags, granola wrappers, granola bags, especially food and beverage packaging, but a lot of other consumer packaging, lotion bottles, glue bottles, pens, are all non-recyclable. You cannot put them in your curbside recycling, if your local recycling takes plastics 1 through 7. Most consumer packaging can't be collected. So these companies said, will you run a similar program for us? And we said, sure, we would love to do that, but we didn't really have an answer on what we were going to do with things like drink pouches and chip bags. There wasn't really anything out there going on any wide scale with that material at that time. And so we launched the first program sort of as an unknown. So it was partnering with Honest Tea, who makes lots of great tea and juice beverages.
We're putting out a kids line called Honest Kids.
And we sponsored a program that paid schools 2 cents for every drink pouch that they collected. After we launched that program, we had 500 schools that signed up in the first 3 days.
So
obviously this was something that there was a lot of demand and hunger for. Schools could teach kids about resource conservation and recycling in a hands-on interactive project. They could earn a little bit of money while they were doing it. And so immediately Stonyfield signed us a deal with us for yogurt cups. Clif Bar signed a deal for energy bar and granola bar wrappers. And, you know, before long we were running 10 or 12 of these programs for different companies.
Unbelievable. Now, and when you fast forward to now, the shape schools are in, and teachers are so undervalued. They do anything to raise money for their school, most of them. That's my opinion. I have a lot of teachers who are friends, and so this is an unbelievable program. Now, was that the Brigade program?
So they're called the Brigades. That name is a holdover from the Bottle Brigade, which was the original program that I mentioned. But now they're called the Brigades. You can find information or sign up. It takes not even 5 minutes to sign up. At TerraCycle, TerraCycle.net. The programs are free to sign up for. We provide prepaid shipping labels. So now you can just print up a UPS label directly off our website once you have an account, stick it on any box that you have, fill it up with any of the 35 materials that you choose to collect, and earn 2 cents for a school or a nonprofit for every unit of waste, so to speak, that you collect. If you're a school, you can do it. If you're an individual or even an office, a for-profit company, you can sign up for free for the program as well, as long as you pick a school or a nonprofit for the donation to go to.
It's like the green trifecta. People are going to use those products anyway. That's my stance. It's like, yes, wouldn't it be great if we all did the reduce thing first, which I always encourage. But the reality is people are going to be consuming things like this. Now, I just know that you have – I wish everybody that was listening would go to your website and see the neat products, because you sell to industrial suppliers, you sell to the consumer. Talk about some of the products that you sell and what they're made out of.
Sure. So it all started with more kind of kids-based consumer products. One of the biggest programs that took off the fastest was the drink pouch program. Now, these programs are sponsored by certain corporations, but it should be noted that they all collect regardless of brand. So you can send us any kind of drink pouch as long as it fits the format of drink pouch. So that was one of the biggest programs. So we started turning the drink pouches into items for kids, pencil cases, backpacks, lunch boxes, homework folders, things that could be used at school. We also did, you know, things like reusable tote bags for mom. And then when we got into things like cookie wrappers, candy wrappers, we started to do speakers, little mini computer speakers, kites, even purses and messenger bags, and more like handbag-looking items. So it really started to spread out. Basically, we would take whatever the wrapper was, and we would turn it into a product that made sense for that consumer.
And who sits there and thinks up, oh, well, I'm going to make a purse. Oh, well, I'm going to make a pouch. I mean, there are a lot of items. I mean, do you really have African violet plant food that's made, the container is made from a soda bottle? Do you still have that?
Yes, we do, yeah. Currently, you can still buy our fertilizer through our e-commerce site, which carries over 60 or 70 of our products. It's just TerraCycleShop.com.
Right.
But who thinks of the products? Today, we have a team of three different creative designers, as well as a team of researchers. So we have a plastics polymers expert, so we can understand the material, whether there's leaching issues, any safety issues, based on, you know, manipulating this different type of packaging. But we have creative designers as well, people that have come from places like RISD and Pratt, who do a lot of the creative thinking behind what we do. And then when we design a product and we design and sell a product, we then partner with manufacturers all over North America and Latin America as well. But they're all have socially and environmentally responsible stories behind them. But we partner with these manufacturing groups to produce the finished product once it's been designed.
Okay, it just blows me away. I'll never forget the time I saw a park bench, and there was a little thing on it that said, this product made from recycled plastic. And, I mean, it was rock solid. There's that stuff that I never get the name right, but Mr. Green knows that you can lay down as your patio floor. You know, it's tough. It's not tough shed, but something like that. It's unbelievable, and that's made out of plastic. So we do have a caller. Dan, thanks for calling in. What's your question for Albie?
Hi, thanks. Yeah, I've seen several articles about recycling, and a lot of people who've done research on it think that that we're spending more money in shipping this stuff around, you know, with the cost of trucks and truck fuel and drivers and things like that, then we really recover from the gain of the item. And also, if you would address, remember when Tucson, we found out a couple of years ago that they were taking our blue cans straight to the garbage dump. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, and I think it's a great question. And please stay on the line so that Kat can get your information. It's a great question. I can answer the first part about Tucson. It's okay. We are really. I know the people in many of the waste companies, especially like the Fairfax companies, and I know the people at Waste Management, and the things that are being recycled, sent to the recycling, they have uses for them. The demand for paper is incredible. They're using the plastic. At this point, there isn't as much a demand for glass, but they're not just dumping it in the landfills. It's actually being stored for when the demand goes up. So, Albie, it's all about you now. What's your answer to that? That's
a good question.
It's a
fantastic question. Thank you very much to the caller. That is actually what is so great about the TerraCycle system is he is right. There are a lot of challenges to the cost of municipal recycling. If there isn't an end market that's paying enough recycled material, recyclers can have trouble with going out of business. I remember there was a page 1A story in the New York Times right in December of 2008 during the financial crisis about whether recycling would survive the economic downturn. That what's incredible about the TerraCycle system is that our collection system is being sponsored with corporate dollars. So the Frito-Lays of the world, the Kashis, the Clif Bars, the Kraft Foods are paying or subsidizing the cost of these programs or providing the donation. So that helps to offset the fiscal cost. There's, of course, an environmental concern about trucking garbage all around. We've addressed that as well. We've now built regional depots. So we've split the country into five different regions, the
awesome.
West Coast, the North, the South, the Midwest, and New England, and we have depots. So if you're in California and you return a TerraCycle product, it never comes all the way back to New Jersey, where we're based, and I'm talking to you from now. And in addition, not only do we break into regional depots, but we also work with a group, Zero Footprint, which is an independent nonprofit out of Toronto, to carbon offset all of the shipping. So when you're sending us in those Clif Bar wrappers or whatever it might be, that's coming back in as carbon a least carbon-intensive as way as we've been able to figure out.
And what a great answer. What a great question. What a great answer. So we have flown through this segment. We have to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to run the numbers a little bit because I want you to talk to us a little bit, Albie, about the number of people you have engaged. It's in the millions, the waste you've collected, the kinds of products you're using, all you've raised for charity. There's so much to tell about TerraCycle. You can visit them at terracycle.net. Or find them through MrsGreensWorld.com. We'll be right back. Please stay here with me and with Albie.
790 KNST.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. Unbelievable out-of-the-box guest today whose company has morphed from a worm poop company to the absolute kingpins of upcycling, kingpins and queenpins, I'm sure. Albie Zakes, who is the vice president of media relations for TerraCycle. It is the American dream. Albie, thanks for being a part of it. Now, let me ask you this. Tom was 20 when he started. Weren't you, like, really old, like 22 or 23?
No, Tom's actually a year older than me.
He is? What, you were 19?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's actually almost 2 years older than me.
What a ride. So
yeah,
you're,
so I
you're
call
just...
him the old man. He just turned 30 in January, and so I told him I couldn't trust him anymore.
Don't say that. I just turned 60 in December, and boy, 60 is the new 40, so he's really only 10.
You're only as old as your heart tells you.
That's
you are,
exactly
right?
Right, and I am so... so, so, so young. Okay, so I have to do a quick announcement about one of our partners. The New Southwest is going green. They are not going to be at 1,500 locations throughout Pima County. They are going to be online at www.thenewsouthwest.com. Kudos to them. I hope it goes really well, and I wanted to make sure everybody knows that. Okay, Albie, there's so many more questions. Let's get right to it. And I want to mention that, Dan, if you call back 520-880-5678, Kat did not get your information, and you are entitled to that nice prize. Please, if you have a question for Albie, we're taking callers 520-880-5678. Okay, so how do you feel about the numbers? Like, you have numbers. How many people do you have collecting trash? If you don't know, I know, because I, of course, Googled it.
I believe the last numbers that I remember seeing are we're approaching 14 million people globally collecting as a part of almost 75,000 collection sites, that being the local school or community group that signs up.
Right, and you are up to, just so that you know, you're up to about 18 million, okay? That's so, it's like me, I always have to look at the stats, but you're growing like crazy, and the waste units collected, and I would assume that would be like one juice container is a waste unit, is in the billions. It's way past the million mark, and you recycle 257 products from waste. I know you're supposed to be answering the questions, but TerraCycle is, to me, it is like the Facebook of upcycling. So let's talk about you have the brigade, people can sign up for that. Do you have issues with having too many people trying to sign up and not being able to service the accounts? That's just a practical question.
We are limited in that sense. That's a great question. We are limited because the programs are funded through corporate sponsorship. We are limited by how much funding we can get. So some programs are almost limitless. The drink pouch program has 50,000 available locations. The candy wrapper program has 10,000 available locations. So a lot of people can get involved. Other programs have to grow slowly. So we can only open a few thousand locations at once. What we're doing is setting up an online community on our website where local groups can share their location and how to get involved so that entire communities can get involved through one school, and that way we can get more people involved in the program.
Okay, now let me talk about this because it's one of my favorite subjects. How big a leap was it for you in terms of worldview when you were on Oprah and Good Morning America in 2009, I think that was?
Well, for me, that was sort of my big coup because I've always been responsible for doing the media and the marketing for the company. And, you know, Tom's our CEO, and he is definitely the boss and the man and the face of the company. So he's the guy that got to be on Oprah and on Good Morning America and the Today Show and 2020 and NBC Nightly News. But, you know, I was the guy who booked those things for him.
I so get
PR
it, because nobody does it on their own.
Working for another man's glory.
Right. And I'm proud of you for doing that. I have a green team that it's like, yeah, I get to be the one out front, but you're back there making it all happen, pushing me out front. And we should talk afterwards so that you can tell me how I can get on Oprah too. But that's another conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, what exciting things do you have coming up? Because the time will fly, and you went from worm poop to upcycling to contracts with places like Walmart and Home Depot and Whole Foods, where people can find the products readily available. What's your vision for the future? What do you guys see coming down the road in 5 years? What's the next step that you can share?
Yeah, for us, it's all about expansion, both of where we can offer our services and what we can offer services for. So we really like to focus on material that's otherwise non-recyclable. Mostly it's non-recyclable, not because it can't be recycled, but because there is no collection system for it. So we want to continue to provide these end-of-life collection systems and waste solutions for as many different materials. We only started running this program just about 4 years ago. And in 4 years, we've gone from one material to 40 materials. The goal is one day to be able to collect all of the world's garbage, regardless of what it is, provide this privatized, subsidized collection system for it, and continuing to do it in different countries. We started in the U.S. Today we're in 11 or 12 countries, Canada, U.S., Mexico, Argentina, Brazil, Ireland, U.K., France, Germany, Sweden, Israel, and Turkey are about to launch. They'll be our first Middle Eastern locations as well. So continuing to try to expand, to replicate the system in every country that we go to, and to provide a solution for the world's garbage.
So basically, preservation of the planet. Like, there's no question. It's like, that is just, it just makes my heart sing. Tell us, let's go from the global to the local. What do you have in terms of, what is Graffiti Jam? You do that yearly. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, art and artistic expression has always been a big part of TerraCycle. You know, we're based in a very urban community in Trenton, New Jersey. It's the capital of New Jersey. It's also like the eighth or ninth most dangerous city in the country every year. We moved there as part of our social responsibility. We're a second-chance employer, so we offer jobs to felons, reformed convicts, drug addicts, people off the streets, veterans. You know, we have a big labor force that we employ right in Trenton. We're beautifying old factories that were abandoned before we moved into them. Part of our pledge to the local community was to be open and part of the local community. Graffiti is a big part of Trenton. There's a lot of different graffiti crews, so we let them paint our building. And over time, it's almost turned into some sort of like graffiti mecca. And people come from D.C., New York, Philly, all over to come paint TerraCycle's walls. And as we started to realize that we had gained like some graffiti street cred, I guess, we decided to embrace that. And we now have an annual event. We've made it an official event. So in August every year, we do the TerraCycle Graffiti Jam. Last year, it was international for the first time. We had people come from the U.K. and Holland to paint our walls. And really, we view graffiti as something that can have a positive impact, that is a beautiful art form, but is just often viewed in a negative light. So we feel a kindred spirit with that since we're the garbage company.
Recycle graffiti. I mean, I'm loving it. I'm just loving all of it. Now, we do have another caller. Cynthia, thanks for calling in. What's your question for Albie?
Oh, I was just wondering, what is the definition of upcycling? Maybe you already said that, but...
No, that's perfect, and I made a note to myself to cover it in the first segment, and then I did not, so we'll let Albie answer that. Cynthia, thank you. You know I have whirling dervish syndrome. Stay
thank
on the
you.
Line, so we'll get your information. And Albie, what's the answer to that? What's upcycling?
Sure, it's a great question, and really the easiest way to define upcycling is directly reusing a material that has a short life cycle to give it a more purposeful, a more useful life. So taking something like a yogurt pot and turning it into a planting pot, the yogurt pot you use very quickly. You eat in a five-minute span, and then its life is over. That's a very short life cycle. So thus the term upcycling, we're increasing the life cycle by finding a way to directly reuse something and give it a longer, more useful life.
And not just throw it in the garbage. And that's a perfect example.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Our recycling company does not take yogurt containers. So, Albie, for the mechanics of that, so if I had little kids and my school was involved, I would just rinse out the yogurt cups and send them into school for collection. Is that how it works?
Yep, it's very easy. Again, you can sign up for free on our website. You can collect in any box. We'll send you a UPS shipping label. You can print, we'll mail it to you if you want, or you can print it up, which is obviously the more eco-friendly option, directly off of our website. And then you send it in, and for every yogurt cup that you return, we donate 2 cents to your school, your church, your community group, your Boy Scout troop, your local YMCA, whatever it is.
So could I do that even without asking you to do the postage? We could save ours and once a month send you a bunch of yogurt cups and designate a school?
We do accept, and there are people who send stuff to us that aren't a part of the program. It's actually, in the end, it's easier for us if you're a part of the program.
Okay.
Because we can scan your UPS label, and without opening the box, we know who you are and where to donate the money and what type of material is going to be in the box. That said, if a program is full, you can sign up for the waiting list, and in the meantime, if you are committed and green enough, then you can mail them in on your own until we can get you into the program.
Okay, that is a great answer. So upcycling, and it's basically preventing things from going into the landfill, and you sign up through the brigade and see, and you can put your zip code in, and that's an easy way to do it. So the graffiti program, you help. I was going to ask you if you still give people a second chance, because I remember that you talked about, you know, it gets interesting sometimes when you have people that have had quite a bit of experience in a more challenging part of life managing that workforce. I'm so proud of you for still doing that. What about the whole piece of you know, like staff training and getting people? How do you manage that and make it sustainable? We're going off.
It's really something where it's a lot of hands-on managing and training. From a labor standpoint, the guys who are now our factory managers, our shift supervisors, all of the guys who have moved into more of a managerial role as the factory has grown and changed what it does, are all guys who came to us as hourly temp workers, you know, who all started as, you know, $10 an hour kind of guy.
I'm loving it. And what a note to end on. We are out of time. I cannot believe it. I thought we had 5 more minutes left at least. Albie, thank you so much. Albie Zakes, VP of Media Relations, Out of the Box Success, TerraCycle. Visit them at TerraCycle.net and visit MrsGreensWorld.com if you can't get a hold of them. Albie, we'll be talking again, and I'll be out there.
Thank you, Gina. It's my pleasure. And you let us know. We'll show you a good time in New Jersey.
Have a great, great, great weekend.
All right. You as well.
Okay. Bye.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST. All about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST.